Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers, Slagkick.
I was supposed to make a Rattata noise, but I forget what they sound like.
I think they might just say their name.
Rattata!
And Trainer Sulker.
Remember my super cool Rattata? My Rattata is different from regular Rattata. It's like my Rattata is in a top percentage of all Rattata.
Today is September 10th, 2016, and this is Stab Podcast Episode 4, Pokemon Origins. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. This week, I will be leading a discussion on the anime short series Pokemon Origins. But first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks.
I think they call it an OAV.
Sulker, you go first.
Oh, thank God. So let's see. There's been a lot since our last episode. A lot of my Poke Week has been every time we get a new announcement, I'm just kind of screen capping and posting about all the new Pokies we get. So we got some exciting new Pokies to look at. Go to our Twitters. A bit of bad news in my Poke Week. When I was in San Diego a couple weeks back, I decided, oh, I'll play my Pokemon Blue, try to catch some of Meowth, you know. Turns out my 3DS decided to delete all save files on the micro SD card, so that was fun.
Boo.
So yeah, so I basically had to start from scratch on all of that. Lost all my Red, all my Blue. But I did finally get up to the point where I could catch some Meowth.
Yay!
I bought some new cards in the Steam Siege deck expansion. I did get another Volcanion and... Oh, what was the other shiny I got? Do you remember?
I'm afraid I don't.
Oh, Litwick. It was a Litwick. And it's super cute.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And I bought some cute Pokemon boxers.
Oh.
Yeah, they're pretty cute. So that's pretty rad.
How would you know?
Think about it, genius.
We were at the store together.
Oh.
Anything else?
You know, other than watching a bunch of Pokemon this weekend, no, that's pretty much it.
All right, well then, regrettably, lamentably, Slagkick, you're up.
Ostensibly.
Excuse me. Wow.
Go for broke.
So yeah, I was trying to think. It has been a while since we recorded, because last time we recorded, we were just about to go on a day trip where we did a little bit of Poke hunting. So I got a handful of Pokemon. One of the, I think, the biggest things that has been in my Poke world is the new Pokemon assessment, or whatever you want to call it.
For PokeGo.
Yes, for PokeGo, where you go in and Pokemon appraising.
Slagkick. You want me to appraise your dick?
Well, I have to
your
say...
Your dick is huge.
I have to say that...
This is the most horrifying moment of my life.
I have to say that I had my Ekans appraised, and my Ekans is huge.
So, all right, my Poke Week...
Hey, I wasn't
honestly,
I wasn't
after
done.
What you just said, I'm kind of over it.
No, but I have to say... by the way, there is an Abra in the studio. Sorry to multitask. But, yeah, so the appraising is, like, really great. Like, I had gone on, like, those, you know, some of those other sites to, you know, before they got shut down and such. And I had, like, been like, oh, you know, these are some of the ones that are apparently my strongest. And it matched up pretty well. So, like, my Magikarp is still one of the best, apparently. So, I think it's pretty good for my needs, anyways. Very sufficient.
That's great. All right. So, is that it?
I just caught an Abra.
Fantastic. And congrats. Hopefully, I will be able to say the same in about 20 seconds.
I'm working on mine right now.
So, my Poke Week has been pretty rad. I've watched a lot of the anime. I revisited Origins in order to, you know, discuss it here on this episode today. I really love that feature so much. But the other big Poke news for me was that I finally found a copy of the Elite Trainer Box Generations set. You know, that was a Pokemon Center store exclusive for a long time, but it's finally available in just general retailers. I picked one up, of course, you know, 10 packs of the Generations expansion. It's pretty much like the only way to get the Generations expansion is to be buying these kinds of sets or the, like, Pikachu EX box. Anyway, I was really stoked because I actually got one of the cards I've been really after in this expansion, the full art card, Articuno.
And jealous.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous card. I'm super happy about it. And I'm just, like, riding riding that high right now. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty jealous of the whole pack because I was like, oh, you're just going to go into the store for one thing? I'll wait in the car. Jealous.
Yeah, I went in for a copy of Yoshi's Woolly World. I came out with Woolly World and a box of Pokemon cards, which, you know, leave it to me to end up impulse buying something more expensive than what I was there for.
Jealous.
So I think that about wraps it up for us here. Let's get into some Poke news, or as we like to call it, our Muse.
Muse.
This week, Gizmodo reports that the new Pokemon Go Plus will be releasing for sale this week. Yes, by the time you are listening to this and it is hitting your hot little ears, there should be Pokemon Go Plus either just on sale or just about to be on sale. For those of you who aren't familiar with this feature, this device is a partner device to the Pokemon Go game. You may use this to capture Pokemon while you are not actively playing the game. The device will buzz, give you an option to press a button, and then magic happens.
This device connects to your phone via Bluetooth, and it will be available for purchase on September 16th. It will pair with either iOS or Android devices and will be available in most countries that day.
Personally, I'm excited. I'm probably one of the few people who are keeping their Pokemon Go Plus pre-order despite having an iPhone or Apple Watch. What is this thing even called? Because now, by the end of year, my watch will also pair with the game.
Yeah, that was some other exciting news we had that came out of a sort of a surprising source. It was at the Apple event this week announcing the iPhone 7, and they also happened to discuss, you know, Pokemon Go getting an application for the Apple Watch. So, you know, that's very exciting. Very similar functionality to what Pokemon Go Plus is going to do, which I think is really surprising, but I'm excited for it. I don't even have an Apple Watch, but I'm really excited for people who do.
And I know some of my friends are thinking about not getting their Plus anymore. I personally just want to own it regardless because I think it'll be a cool collectible and a memento of the time that Pokemon Go was a thing.
I have rubbed off on you in a really bad way.
Ba-dum-bum.
I have kept my pre-order. I said I was going to cancel it, but the more I think about it, you know, I still enjoy playing Poke Go from time to time, even if I'm not as rabid as I used to be. And so I feel like maybe if I have this device, you know, and I just have it with my watch every morning or whatever, it might actually keep me more motivated to keep playing the game. So I think I am going to stick with it and get one.
And can you imagine going to like a Magikarp nest and just being like boop, 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 and not even having to pull out your phone?
I mean, that's kind of life goals, right? Quickest way to a Gyarados, I think. All right, well, moving forward, Slaggy, I think you had our next news story?
Yeah, so Professor Oak's Alola form has been revealed, by which I mean we have word that Professor Oak has a cousin in the Alola region who studies the Alola variants. And this is Samson Oak, so he is the cousin of Samuel Oak, who you remember from the very first Pokemon games ever.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I thought it was really cute that even the official Pokemon website made a joke about him being the Professor Oak
Alola form.
Yeah, I thought that was really cute. You know, he looks very similar to Professor Oak, except he's wearing like a Hawaiian style shirt and, you know, has a like long, like white hair and much darker, like tanned skin. So he looks like an Alola form. It's pretty funny.
It really is.
All right. Well, moving forward, we also have the announcement of an exciting new line of Pikachu stuffed animals. These are the Villainous Cosplay Pikachus. They are going to be released in Japan on October 8th for roughly $12 American each.
That's such a steal.
Right? And they are cosplay Pikachus in the costumes of all of the various villain teams over the generations.
I don't know which one I'm going to get. I mean, they all look so cute. Like, I mean, I'm like, oh, I just want the Rocket one because, you know, it's the original Pokemon villain. It's still what's happening in the show. Oh, wait. Oh, but oh, look at the Aqua and the Magma. Oh, that's so cute that they're just villainous. Oh, wait. But no, I want them all. I'm going to buy them all.
Yeah, they're all so super, super, super cute.
Yeah, I love the Team Aqua one for obvious reasons. Favorite team ever. But also, I really like the Team Flare one.
Right? And, you know, Team Rocket is just super cute, too. I'm super into all of them. And I hope I can get them all because, frankly, I'm going to be trying.
That's only, what, $72? Plus whatever it costs to import.
Right? Well, hopefully it won't be too bad. Slaggy, you want to take this next one?
Oh, yeah. We just have a little bit of news. So, in perhaps some of the strangest Pokemon Sun and Moon news yet, we have some new Pokemon, some new not Pokemon, a new team, theme and a new feature.
You just described literally everything in the world. Some Pokemon and some non-Pokemon.
Well, I mean,
oh, be nice.
In this case, let me get into it. So the we have type Null, who is a synthetic Pokemon. It is a normal type, despite its type being its name being type Null. It is a normal type. Apparently, it is an amalgamation of other Pokemons.
Okay, but if you think about like type Null, like normal is kind of just the blank slate of types.
I almost wonder if it will have some sort of type changing move, or like even use the plates that Arceus does.
You know, I actually think you might be onto something there. This is actually the first time that a Pokemon has a different name in its North American release than it does in its South American release, and so a lot of people feel like type Null might not be its actual name.
So definitely something
to keep an eye open on.
And it's apparently meant to withstand like the most powerful mythological creatures. So I'm like, a normal type? Really? We also have Jamo-O, who is a adorable little dragon Pokemon that trains with its fellow little dragons.
So cute.
It's really cute. And we also have Alolan Raticate.
Okay, now you can't hear it, but I was just screaming at a pitch that cannot be perceived by human ears by how fucking much I love this Alolan Raticate.
Yeah, I love Alolan Raticate so much.
Yeah, it has like big chubby cheeks. It's got dark fur like the Alolan Rattata. And apparently has a preference for high-class ingredients, so it's basically Ratatouille as a Pokemon. And then we have something called an Ultra Beast. There's UB-01.
Red, red wine.
No, unless there's 40 Ultra Beasts, then you can make that joke. Although you already did. So these Ultra Beasts are maybe Pokemon, but probably not. And apparently are a threat to Pokemon and trainers. And this one is creepy. It looks like a little jellyfish girl. Some people think that it might actually be Lily.
And Lily, correct me if I'm wrong, is Professor Kukui, the new professor for this region.
My husband.
His mysterious assistant.
Yes.
Interesting.
And
the plot begins to form.
Yeah, well, literally, you know.
Bum, bum, bum.
Because the Ultra Beasts are being studied by a group called the Aether Foundation, who live on a man-made island called Aether Paradise. And the player character will be helping them out, although, I don't know, they seem a little suspicious. I'm kind of rooting for them being evil and Team Skull being, like, anti-heroes almost.
There's actually quite a few people on the internet who think that's what's going to happen and that Team Skull's going to end up being, you know, like you say, sort of anti-heroes and, you know, the real villains are going to be the Aether Foundation. And I'd be into that. I'm ready for a Pokemon story to have a little more depth to it. Although, admittedly, I already thought that X and Y was a good step in that direction.
Oh, yeah, and I think this will be a continuation of that. I mean, just look at them. They look sinister. Somehow more sinister than Skull.
Yeah. And Sulcra and I were talking before recording about how maybe they are actually Ultra Beasts too. You never know.
I wouldn't be that surprised, frankly.
I mean, hey, it is anime when we get down to it. We also have Dexio and Sina, who are two other assistants for Professor Kukui. I'm sorry, the article I'm reading has a typo. Professor Kukui. And they specifically help you with the Zygarde cores and the Zygarde cells.
Excellent. Well,
and
that's awesome.
The very last piece is that you'll be able to take Poke pictures.
Yes.
Oh my goodness,
it's basically
right?
Pokemon Snap.
It's kind of Pokemon Snap.
Yes. I am so excited about that. Like, that alone for me had me losing my darn mind the day this news hit. I am so hype now. And I was already so hype.
Oh my god. You know, speaking of weird anime tropes being possible in this, do you think Type Null is someone's daughter mixed in with their Pokemon pet?
Nissan.
How dare you? How very dare you?
Oh, I will always make a Nina joke.
All right.
Naming my Type Null Nina.
That's so messed up that I have to move on. We have word of the Pokemon card game getting its Sun and Moon expansions in Japan starting in December. This is going to be Collection Sun and Collection Moon. It'll be hitting Japanese card shops on December 9th. Each set, they will be treated as different sets, is going to contain 60 cards, not including the secret rares.
Ooh.
So overall, come December, we're going to have more than 120 new cards for the Pokemon card game.
Is that going to be out here, or is that only in Japan as well?
You know, that's the Japanese release. I don't think we have an English language release date yet, but I would expect it a couple of months later, so I think we'll probably have it by, like, March.
Ugh, too long of a wait.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm like, I'm just going to import some Professor Kukui cards.
Well,
like,
you know, if
just for the sexy art.
If they follow what they did for X and Y, we may get promotional decks featuring at least the starters around the time of the launch of the game. So let's have our fingers crossed for that.
Oh, perfect.
Who's up next? I think it's Sulker.
It's Sulker!
So we've got some additional Pokemon Go news. I guess I get all the Pokemon Go pieces, which I'm fine with. So in addition to the Pokemon Go Plus, one new update that is coming very shortly, actually should be rolling out as of today, is the Pokemon Buddy. The Pokemon Buddy, in addition to battling bots and fixing bugs, they've decided that they're going to add a new patch that will allow you to add your favorite Pokemon to your team. It'll be on your trainer page showing up behind your trainer. It will also provide you with unique in-game rewards and experiences, and you'll have the ability to change your buddy at any time, which is useful because you can use them to farm for candy.
So what you're telling me is that everybody is going to have Magikarp buddies for the next few weeks.
As soon as the update comes to my phone, that's what's gonna happen.
I didn't even think about that. I mean, my Magikarp is like my best stats Pokemon.
Yeah, well, then you better get to burning, as they say.
And the irony will be that he'll just be my Magikarp buddy forever. Never gonna evolve.
Well, we all make choices.
A Pokemon.
And that's a choice.
Trainer.
Slay. Speaking of Slaggy, I think you're up.
Yeah, so as if one piece of adorable plush news was not enough, we have news that Premium Bandai, which I guess is, that's just a part of the Bandai company.
I believe it's like their direct order division.
Ah, okay. So they have announced huggable Eevee PC cushions. This is part of their Pokemon themed PC cushion line. Reservations will be going from, they started at the end of August and will be going until the end of October. Items will ship out in November. So if you haven't seen these PC cushions, there is a giant Eevee plush and then an armrest pillow.
And there's also a Pikachu one, but the Eevee one is the cute one. Like, it's unbelievably cute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Pikachu one adorbs. Is still available, so...
Could someone, like, explain to me the use of, like, one of these pillows? Because, I mean, I've never owned one, and I don't know anyone who ever has.
I think it's for people who have, like, repetitive stress injury, carpal tunnel type situation, you know, to rest your wrists on so that they're not taking the strain when you're typing.
I see. Okay. And it just looks really cute. So that's fine.
Yeah, because you're hugging your Pokemon while you're on the computer.
Yeah, it's cute. You hug it and you have, you know, that comfort and the comfort for your wrists while you're typing at your PC.
I'm like, forget it for PC. I'm just going to use them as pillows. Hug the Pokemon. Because that's what I do.
All right, Sulker, I think you have our last news piece of the day.
Yes. Pokemon GX cards is a new bit in the Pokemon card game that is actually kind of a bit of a change for some of the mechanics of the game. GX cards are special evolution cards or special legendary cards that are way tougher than any other Pokemon card in the game. You, as a trainer, are only allowed to play one GX card per game. That is not like one per type.
Well, and you can only play one GX attack per game.
Oh, I misread that. Okay, so like, so if you use... Didn't you get a GX card?
So the GX cards aren't available yet. They will be in the trading card game Sun and Moon series set to launch in early 2017. And basically, each Pokemon GX card is going to have up to two regular attacks and also its GX attack.
Ooh.
So you'll only be able to use one GX card per game. And that card will only be able to use its GX attack once per game.
I see.
I'm surprised they didn't just call it a Z-move.
Well, and I think it is actually a reference to, you know, the super moves that are coming with Sun and Moon, the video game. I think this is meant to be the trading card game analog of that.
Yeah. It does, however, come with some additional costs as a trainer. While it does have a higher power attack and a higher general HP set, you do run the risk of, if it gets knocked out, your your opponent does get to take two of their prize cards instead of just one.
Oh.
So that can, you know, if that goes not in your favor, you could end up losing a game real quick that way. So I'm really excited about that. I think that's going to be a really cool risk-reward situation going on here. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like any time they try to add a little bit of, you know, it's that you don't have to play with GX cards, so, you know, I like when there are optional ways to mix up the strategy a little bit.
Indeed. I think that it'll be a good addition, although I fear that we'll just see a bunch of people using GX cards versus GX cards and just kind of making matches a bunch shorter.
Well, you know, we saw that in the video games with Mega Evolutions as well in competitive play, but I think that now that they've been around for a while, that it's actually changed the meta in a really interesting way. So I'm kind of hoping that's what happens for the card game too.
Well, hopefully we'll get some, or we'll get to see some of that in next year, the 2017 Pokemon Championships.
Oh yeah, I sure hope so. All right, well, that about wraps it up for our news this week. I do want to mention that our next big Pokemon Sun and Moon news update is going to be on September 14th. So I would expect this episode of Stabcast that we're recording right now to be going live on the 12th or 13th. So probably, you know, right around the time you're listening to it, there should be new Pokemon news. If you're not searching it out on your own, we will be talking about it with you next time we record.
And we'll also be tweeting about it on Twitter on the 14th.
Indeed. All right, unless either of you guys have anything to mention that I'm not aware of, I'm ready to start this discussion.
I'm just going to say that Mimikyu that are sleepy are not ready for new updates.
All right, so today we are having our first anime discussion. I'm, of course, really excited about this. You know, I'm a big fan of the Pokemon animation. I think for a lot of people, that's sort of their entry point into the fandom. So I'm really stoked about this. I'm particularly excited because, you know, Pokemon Origins is, for me, probably my favorite of all of the Pokemon animation. If anything, if I have any complaints, it's only that it's too short. It's only 4 episodes, and I could easily have seen it being, you know, 12 or 24. Overall, what do you guys think of the Pokemon Origins anime?
Personally, I freaking love it, and I wish that it, like you said, it was a longer ongoing series, or, I mean, ongoing probably wouldn't work too well unless they did it as a, here's the adventures of Red, now here's the adventures of Pearl, here's the adventures of Platinum, which, personally, I would be into. I think the animation is fantastic, and the storyline translates the original games into a working model for a story. It's not just a, oh, he walks from gym to gym and fights. It kind of adds a little bit more to the narrative, and I'm absolutely there for it. I do have to say I really love the relationship that forms between Red and his Charizard through the story. I do not, however, like that the American dub calls Green blue.
Yeah, that part is a little weird.
Well,
Slaggy, I mean, what about you? What do you think?
I mean, the green blue thing makes sense, you know, because green wasn't released here. So,
you know, in a world where we didn't have Fire Red and Leaf Green released, I might agree.
Oh, that's true.
But there is now precedent for us to have like Red and Green. So I don't think it would have been that weird.
No, but I'm going to just echo what you both said. I mean, and, you know, the Pokemon anime as it is its own thing, and especially, you know, with X and Y, I've, you know, grown to really appreciate it for what it is, but, I mean, this quite honestly is, you know, after playing the games and experiencing them, because, you know, I saw the anime first before I played the original game, so, you know, this is really what a Pokemon anime arguably should have been from the start, but, you know, I mean, I get it, like, it was a different time, they were trying to do something different, but, you know, it somehow is exactly like the games, complete down with the like battling mechanics and stuff, but it works like super well as an anime.
Excellent. Yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it. Rewatching it to prepare for this episode was an absolute treat. I'm just so, so happy that we're talking about this. So let's talk about it now from a little bit more of a technical perspective. We typically look at Pokemon Origins as an original video animation. animation or an OVA. In Japan, that's typically the term that you use to describe a feature that's made like direct to video as we think of it here. But whereas, you know, to North American audiences, you think of something as direct to video as sort of like a negative. Typically when anime is made direct to video, there's sort of a level of prestige there.
Yeah.
Something interesting about Pokemon Origins, though, is that while it was prepared in the style of an OVA, in fact, you know, animation was actually handled by some really well-known and well-beloved anime studios, which is largely part of why the animation quality is so high. You have, you know, Production IG handled an episode. They're probably known for stuff like the End of Evangelion movie, the OVA series FLCL, some really great stuff like the Ghost in the Shell TV series. You know, they're a really well-loved studio. Studio Zybek did an episode. They're really well-known for stuff like Martian successor Nadeshko, Shaman King, Love Hina, Candidate for Goddess. You know, they really got fantastic studios to make these episodes. But it was ultimately broadcast on TV Tokyo about 10 days before the release of Pokemon X and Pokemon Y. And a big part of that is that in Pokemon Origins, the very end of it actually introduces the anime audience to Mega Evolutions as a mechanic for the first time. And as a result, a lot of people do connect Pokemon Origins to the release of X and Y for that reason. What did you guys think of that? I actually, when I first watched Pokemon Origin, I was actually kind of mad because obviously Mega Evolution didn't exist in Red and Blue, Red and Green, you know. I have over time, I'm now a little bit less anal about stuff like that, and I ended up just enjoying it perfectly fine. What did you guys think about that development?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of threw me off at first because it's such an authentic, you know, adaptation of the original games.
To the point of using Game Boy style art assets on screen multiple times per episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, that definitely threw me off. But I think kind of tying it into the modern day, you know, I understand why they did it.
Excellent. And Sulker?
As far as like the whole introduction of Mega Evolution goes in the OVA, I really did enjoy it because I was super hyped for X and Y and still super hyped for Mega Evolution in general. Rewatching that sequence where, I'm sorry, I keep wanting to be like, Lizardo! When Charizard evolved into
Mega Charizard X.
Mega Charizard X.
Best Mega Charizard.
I mean, I'm not gonna hate on Mega Charizard Y, but you're not wrong.
Shade! Poor Mega Charizard Y.
That's the question. Mega Charizard Y.
Why?
I just think that it was a really cute nod to, hey, the universe is still kind of evolving. It's not what it was 20 years ago, so enjoy it for what it is. Join us now in the future of Pokemon.
Woo! Party!
And that future is now, 3 years ago.
Now, 3 years ago. So, you know, something I want to talk about Pokemon Origins, before I describe the story and talk about the episode specifically, I want to call out to something that we referenced a few minutes ago, which is the way every episode begins and ends with loading and saving their game file in the style of the Game Boy releases. I thought that was a really cute touch. You know, each episode also starts where, because they basically, obviously, it's only four episodes, they skip huge chunks of the plot of Red and Green / Blue. And everything that is summed up has on-screen text dialogue, either reminiscent or directly reflective of that content in the games. How did you guys feel about that?
I liked it with the whole, like, when they would quote a trainer or, like, a gym leader directly.
Well, and you're all about those trainer and leader quotes, so...
I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about?
Cricketot noise.
Oh, it was cute. I just thought it was a cute touch that allowed us to feel like we were there for Red's adventure. Like, we basically were 20 years ago.
Excellent. What about you, Slaggy?
Yeah, I think because it was so short, it was only four episodes, I thought it was a really cute way to show, you know, the passage of time. And, you know, like I said, even though I feel like every gym and every major story event should have been its own episode so that we at least had 13 or whatever, you know, like, I think for what they were working with, it was a really cute touch.
I do have to say, though, I was a little mad when I first watched it and, like, they were doing those time skips. I mean, I didn't know up front that it was going to only be four episodes and that it would just kind of skip through most of the gyms. But, I mean, now now, I do appreciate it for what it is.
Excellent, excellent. So let's dive in a little deeper now. It's time. Pokemon Origins, as we've mentioned, you know, it's really meant to be a more faithful adaptation of the Pokemon Red and Green/Blue games. The story, of course, follows a young trainer named Red who begins a journey with his Pokemon partner Charmander.
Not a Pikachu? What?
Right, and that I think was probably for a lot of people. You know, it was very questionable that you started with a Pikachu in Red and Blue back in the day. You know,
What?
No.
Well, no, I mean, if you're playing Red and Blue, you start with not a Pikachu.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've seen the show. How come I don't have a Pikachu?
That's why there's a yellow version. So, best version.
Well, that is literally why there's a yellow version, yes. So,
I'm sorry, did you just say best version?
I didn't.
No, it was Slapkick.
Yellow best?
It's the one that I spent the most time with in that generation.
Okay,
I have a
so
you could probably
it's your favorite.
Well, you could probably make a call that it is objectively the best as well. I mean, it does have, you know, redrawn sprites.
Yep.
It does have, you know, the Pikachu audio clips. It has all of the content from the other games, but with most of the version exclusive games available in one, objectively, I think you could make the statement that it's the best.
I mean, you could also just say it's gimmicky. But I mean,
some
people have different opinions.
Ooh, she wants to read tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why don't you go to
I don't have any library glasses with me, but I do have this gun full of insults.
I'm like, someone needs to go to the Pokemon training school because she wants to do some reading.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't know about, like, going to places because you need to leave.
All right, so...
Just
I'm
like Red needed
to
leave on his Pokemon journey across Kanto, right, Spike?
Indeed. So the first episode, Red, was aired in Japan October 2nd, 2013, aired in America, North America, that is to say, November 15th, 2013. This episode is specifically about two young trainers, Red and Blue, Red and Green, since that is obvious. Come up here tonight. You know, in the style of the Game Boy games, they are called over by Professor Oak. He gives them a Pokédex and allows them to choose their starter Pokémon. Something a little funny is that Red chooses his Charmander and Green chooses his Squirtle. Of course, as Blue, choosing a Squirtle makes more sense because of LOL the colors. Green choosing the Squirtle just seems a little weird because you'd think you would pick the plant type because he's named Green, bro.
But that's why the name Blue works well.
The whole point of him as a character is that he freaking hates Red. I mean...
And picks the one that Red is weak to.
Yeah, he always wants to... Like, throughout the series, you find that he only acts in the way that mechanically makes sense. Red went with his heart, Green went with mechanics.
Well, and something I like that does illustrate that is actually in when they have their first fight in the Origins anime, Red actually loses that fight, which I think is interesting because in the games, you can win that fight.
Very easily, honestly.
I never have lost that fight, but can we just talk about Charmander screaming for a second?
Holy mackerel. Yeah, especially in the Japanese release, Charmander, you know, is getting mauled by that Squirtle, and in the Japanese release at the time of airing, this clip was everywhere of Charmander just like squealing in pain. It's actually quite visceral for a Pokemon episode.
Yeah, so it's like Charmander! Ah!
I mean, he wasn't, like, I find that they didn't really use their names in this
right
version, but like, the screaming of like it be just being in utter pain. The American dub didn't have that, and I'm sure that's because they felt American kids weren't able to like handle that level of realism.
Well, and you know, I have to say, I don't know that I disagree with them. Even myself, when I first watched this fan subbed back when it aired in Japan, because you know they got it like a month and a half before we did, I was upset by that. Like, that was too much. But you know, it does sell the seriousness of the premise, so that's certainly something to be said. So you know, we end up with, you know, ending up in Pewter City. Red fights the gym leader, Brock. And something that I thought was really cool was that we had more actual, like, type weaknesses being used than in the normal television anime
and
series.
And same type attack bonuses.
Well, actually, yes. You know, you don't just have, like, oh, this fire type totally beat Onyx because he breathed on the water sprinklers and it sprayed water on the Onyx and made
Pikachu
him weak.
Pikachu set off the fire alarm.
Yeah, that was some shenanigans. Original Pokemon anime does have a lot of issues regarding that.
Like, Red wins using a Pokemon with a fighting type attack, I think it was.
Yeah, it's Nidoran.
Which makes perfect sense fighting a rock type. So,
well, I mean, at the end he beats Onyx with a fire type, which is not the usual, but it is something that happens in the game when you play it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I thought that was really cool. Red wins, gets the boulder badge from Brock. It's all good. Something that sort of unfortunate is that the episode ends and we go to the next episode. Cubone aired Cubone the
Man.
Same day in Japan. They actually all aired the same day in Japan. North America, it aired a couple days later, November 18th. And we basically skipped over two cities and two gym badges. A whole series of events happens, which I thought was sort of unfortunate. And we end up cutting straight to, you know, the encounter at Pokemon Tower, the Pokemon Cemetery. Obviously, this is a really cool sequence. We have, you know, ghosts and the ghost of a Marowak that is sad for, you know, its orphaned Cubone. Very closely mirroring that storyline in the game, which is really cool. It is interesting to me, though, that this sort of more minor encounter in the game, because this is, I would say, a more minor event in the game, ends up with an entire episode dedicated to it. This episode is entirely about the Pokemon Tower, about Red driving out Team Rocket from their shenanigans there because they had an HQ set up there, and, you know, getting the Poke Flute at the end of that event.
Okay, as far as it being a minor event, I kind of disagree. Maybe
that might be because the internet has turned this into, like, hella meme status.
Okay,
well,
but,
I mean, Lavender Town's always been, like, kind of meme, but...
Yeah, even when I played it the first time, like, I love spooky things, so going to a tower with ghosts, like, that was my big deal. Like, you have to go and get the Sylph Scope before you can even go and, like, go into Lavender Town, which if you don't know the first time you're playing, you're like, what the hell are these ghosts? Why can't I beat them? And because I didn't use, like, a guide back on my first playthrough in the day, because I didn't afford all that. I was on a... What are those things called? Not a budget, not a salary.
Allowance.
Ugh, I'll never give my children money.
You'll just send them out into the world to catch Pokemon.
Age 10, out you go.
You know, and I will say, this event is actually in the Pokemon Origins anime, where the Mega Evolution Stones come into play. This is where Red gets them from Mr. Fuji, who also gives him the Poke Flute. I did think that as far as integrating the Mega Evolution Stones into the narrative, that was a good place to do it. So, you know, we do have that at least.
And yeah, and it ties into episode 4, which we'll get into it like 5-10 minutes from now.
Right.
But yeah, I think that was a great place to include all that information because it ties down to that guy's past, his mysterious past.
I guess I just sort of feel like every other episode is sort of cut in half, with like the first half being one event from the game and the second half being like another event from the game. And in this case, it's just weird from a pacing perspective to me that the whole episode is about that event. I guess that's all I'm really saying.
I'm just saying, spooky, scary skeletons. I was there for it.
Werewolf bar mitzvah. All right, so moving forward, then we go to episode 3, Giovanni. This aired in North America on November 20th. We skip over another two badges that Red got, and we skip over the evolution of his Charmeleon into a Charizard.
It's not that we skipped over it, it's that it just kind of like, oh, as a side note, this important life event happened for my favorite best friend, but you know, it didn't really happen to me, so we're just gonna kinda touch on it.
Yeah. As you can tell, that is the one aspect of the show I struggle with, is just that I wish it were much longer. Either way, this episode is about the president of the Sylph Company. You know, obviously the Sylph Company has been taken over by Team Rocket, who are trying to sort of conduct corporate espionage to obtain the Master Ball. Master Ball, obviously, on the off chance that you're listening to this and you don't watch the, or you don't play the Pokemon Core games, Master Ball is a Pokeball that automatically catches any Pokemon once. Obviously, that's really cool in using for legendary Pokemon. It's pretty powerful. So Red ends up infiltrating the Sylph Company to free all of the imprisoned scientists and the Pokemon that Team Rocket are experimenting on in these laboratories. For his efforts, he is rewarded with a Lapras.
Yes!
I love Lapras. I think it's a really great Pokemon, and I love that that's the Pokemon that we see Red using for the rest of the series, short as it is, for whenever it's using Swim.
Surf.
I'm sorry, yes. Basically, though, Red comes up against Team Rocket's leader, Giovanni. And Giovanni actually beats Red in combat and escapes.
Beast.
Red ends up going on to earn more badges and ends up arriving in Viridian City to fight the final gym leader, whom he discovers is Giovanni himself.
Shock!
He's, of course, very upset about this. He doesn't view Giovanni as, like, a valid gym leader since he's the leader of Team Rocket. And he puts up a hissy fit about, like, not wanting to fight and not wanting to, like, take a badge from him. Giovanni ends up fighting using a Rhyhorn and a Rhydon. And the Rhydon, or the Rhyhorn, goes beast mode and beats most of Red's Pokemon. But Red is able to beat the Rhyhorn through a double KO using a Hitmonlee, which I thought was really cool.
Must have gotten that from the Fighting Dojo.
Right?
And it is actually referenced in the beginning of that episode.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yep. And then Red ends up fighting Giovanni's Rhydon using his Charizard. Red obviously ends up winning, and in reward, Giovanni not only gives him the final gym badge needed to enter the Pokemon League, he also disbands Team Rocket, which I thought was pretty cool.
You just glossed over Giovanni's hard-on for this 10-year-old.
Well, yeah, Giovanni basically has like 10 minutes of monologuing in this episode where he's basically talking about his mysterious excitement at being face-to-face with Red over and over. Why am I so excited? Why is this getting my blood pumping?
Why does this child make me feel this way?
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
little
no,
boy.
But that
baby
happens.
Boy.
But that does happen. So the last episode 4, Charizard, aired in North America November 22nd. And I have to be honest, I was very disappointed that we don't even get to see the fights with the Elite Four.
Yeah.
That's covered in the the Game Boy style text pop-ups, recaps of the fights with the Elite Four. Even Lance, the dragon type specialist.
Original daddy.
So that was,
gross,
for me, a little disheartening. But Red ends up finding that previous to his own victory, Blue has gotten there before him and is now the current Pokemon League champion.
Wait, can we talk about how Lance basically trolls Red for a second? Because he basically like, you are the Pokemon League champion for beating me, is what I would have said to you about 5 minutes ago.
It's like something out of 30 Rock.
Yeah, and then he leads him into the battle with Blue, Green, whatever. Green.
All right, so...
Congratulations, you're America's next drag superstar after you beat this queen in a lip-sync battle.
So, Red and Blue battle. The match boils down, of course, to Charizard versus Blastoise.
Charizard ends up, like, using his flamethrower on an electrical panel, which shocks the Blastoise. I'm kidding.
Okay, I was gonna say, yeah, but the type matchup here doesn't completely make sense, but Red is still able to pull out a win somehow.
Because he went with his heart!
And Professor Oak arrives in order to, record Red and his Pokemon into the history books of the Pokemon League. This takes place in a style very reminiscent of the original Game Boy game, which I thought was really cool.
Hall
we
of
get
fame.
A portrait of Red with the Pokemon team that he used. It's really funny, though, because they use, like, a weird device, and they, like, plug all the Pokeballs in, and it, like, steals Red's image, and it's like, this looks like a weird sci-fi thing stealing their souls right now. What's happening?
Yeah, now they live forever. It's basically how Ash gets to be eternal, right? Like the
I guess
the portrait of Dorian Gray, right? Dorian Gray. Yeah, whatever.
So something I really liked, though, is that that's just the first half of this episode. In the second half, Red basically goes and reloads his save using the Game Boy style visuals, and then
after clicking over continue new game options, new game continue.
Right?
So, yeah. So then Red goes on an adventure to then catch like the legendaries, Articuno, Moltres,
Zapdos.
Zapdos, thank you. I was going to call him Electabuzz, like WTF.
Electabuzz, the new legendary.
And then, you know, we end up with like a little bit of weirdness and we find out that there are only 149 known Pokemon. And in this canon, the new Pokemon that no one has heard of is Mewtwo. So Red tracks down Mewtwo, goes to confront him. He's incredibly powerful and pwns all of Red's Pokies.
Including Articuno.
Including Articuno, right? So Red pulls out Charizard, of course, and becomes very determined not to give up. They still get pwned.
Beast!
Hail a monster!
And though, due to the mysterious stones that were given to them by Mr. Fuji, revealed to be the Mega Stones, Charizard becomes Mega Charizard X and completely devastates Mewtwo. Red is able to catch Mewtwo not using a Master Ball, which, good on ya. It can be done, but it's not how most of us do it. And, you know, they are very excited to have caught Mewtwo. There's, you know, much rejoicing. And then Red realizes that if Mewtwo is a clone of Mew, there must be another Mew somewhere out there.
Yeah, okay.
Right outside his bedroom window.
It was outside the living room. It wasn't like watching
right
him in his sleep.
Right outside the living room window.
Yeah, it was creeping on his whole family, not just him.
It's like, hey, Mrs. Ketchum.
Okay,
but I know they're not actually Ketchum, but, you know.
Okay, but, like, how did it take him so long to figure that out? Like, he read the journals that said, we found this new Pokemon, we cloned it, and now there's this monster Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't really have
He's
a good
10.
Answer for you.
It even named Mew in
10.
The journal.
He's 10.
Yeah, okay, but the adults around him, like Professor Oak, he's a professor, for God's sake.
But he's Professor Oak. He's kind of a little bit off-kilter.
All right, well, I think it's time to wrap this discussion up. Overall, I love Pokemon Origins, known in Japan as Pocket Monsters The Origin. I think it's, to me, a must-watch. You can view it in North America. It's streaming on Amazon and Hulu,
yeah.
Which I think is very cool. Not available, unfortunately, on DVD or Blu-ray, though it is in Japan. You can find Blu-ray bootlegs that have the English dub, the Japanese language audio track, and English subtitles for it using the video from the Japanese Blu-ray. I can't encourage you to buy a bootleg, but if you really must have a home media release for this, that is unfortunately your only option.
Although it does have the bootleg episode 5 with Missing Number that messes up the Hall of Fame graphics.
So that's not a real thing, but I kind of wish it were. I'm a big fan overall. Last thoughts, what are your guys' thoughts?
Green's a jerk. Like, he wouldn't even help the vice president of Silphco when she was trying to go talk to the police. He's basically like, I'm going to go and be a Pokemon League champion, so why don't you guys just figure this out?
Yeah, even then, Gary Oak had more of a heart.
Yeah, Red had to, like, throw him up against the wall in a style that was way too provocative for 2 10-year-olds to be doing. And then was like, look, you're going to do this, and I'm going to go kick some ass right now. And then walks off like a badass.
Yes.
Whereas Green is always like, oh yeah, I'm one step ahead of you, while always being one step lamer.
Slaggy, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Pokemon Origins is a delight. I would love to see this treatment done for all of the other ones, but, you know, even if that never happens, we will have this little gem of an OVA that, you know, kind of shows us, it's almost like a what if Pokemon anime had been, like, exactly like the games.
All right. Well, then, let's move on to some non-anime talk actually, we still have our anime episodes to discuss. Sulker, I believe you are leading this week.
It's the anime episode of anime. Now, we'll be talking about the season of X and Y, episode 9, 10, 11, and 12. Episode 9, Clemens got a secret.
He's gay.
Yes, actually. Upon returning to Lumio City, the group meets up with Clement and Bonnie's father, Meyer. I have listed here in parentheses, I'm sure that Slagkick think he's daddy AF, who reveals to Ash and Serena that Clement is Lumio City gym leader. It turns out that Clement had built a robot to stay in his place, and that Clembot has gone haywire. Ash and Clement infiltrate the gym to beat Clembot in a Pokemon battle to take back the Lumios gym. So in this episode, we basically get Clement being forcibly pushed out of a closet, so to speak, to match up with what Slagkick said, by his father. Who clearly wanted his son to be with Serena, who is basically he clearly has the same traits as Bonnie, trying to pawn off that kid. Talks about how he should be a kind gym leader, and then they're all like, OMG, we got outed. So Clement is basically trying to go and live his life to build inventions, and this one, like all of his other inventions, goes crazy. He built in a special password so that he could turn it off. Well, not directly turn it off, but to basically give it the ability to fight him in a gym battle and then turn it off, which comes up later in the episode. Once they realize realize that this is a thing. They go in, they fight. Well, they sneak around, find out that all of Clement's Pokemon in the electric gym have been turned against him. And he fights Clembot with his Bunnelby versus its Helioptile, which is technically his Helioptile. After he discovers that the phrase is something he just had kind of said offhand, they beat it down with a crazy Naruto-style fight using Double Team versus Heliolisk's bulldozer attack, and basically one-shot KOs it. Thoughts on the episode, guys?
Slide kick if you want to start.
Well, yes, Meyer is definitely Daddy AF, so you were spot on with that. I like gym episodes generally, you know, especially because they tend to tie into the games. I like that this one in particular was like a fun twist on it. You know, we saw the kind of the Clembot or very early on where it was like Ash was like, oh, I'm gonna go challenge that gym, and it's like, nope. So it was nice to see that resolved to a certain degree, and like I said, it was like a fun twist on a gym episode.
I really wouldn't even call it a gym episode though, because it was basically the gym leader taking out the gym leader.
Twist on a gym episode.
I mean, sure, except that we know that once that Ash gets his 4 gym badges, which was Clembot's original, like, hey, you need to have 4 when it was recommended.
Right.
So he's going to come back after he has 4 gym badges and then fight Clement instead of Clembot.
Side note, there needs to be a Pokemon game where you can, like, challenge the gyms in any order.
Maybe
that's just World of Warcraft's latest expansion, like, dawning on me, but,
Which is, just jumping back to Origins for a second, when Giovanni, in Brock's gym, episode 1, he basically says that, oh, you have no badges? Well, I'll fight you with these 2 Pokemon, and you see that he has 6 full Pokeballs there, so that's an interesting thing that I wish they kind of would have worked in.
That sort of scalability to do things in order and have the, just whatever order you take them in, the gyms scale their difficulty up. I'd be super into that.
Anyways, I'm sorry to sidetrack. That just
That's
popped
in
my
head. That's a good sidetrack, though, as these things go.
And what are your thoughts on the episode, Spike?
I liked it because, like Slidekick, I generally enjoy gym episodes.
And handsome dads.
I did think that that was a surprisingly pleasant character design for the Pokemon animation, yes. But as always, the thing for me is any episode that has action for X and Y, I'm so into it. Because the animation is so hype. In fact, I really felt like in this batch of episodes, 9 and 10 both were great for just having some really fantastic animation sequences.
Excellent, excellent. Episode 10, Mega Mega Meowth Madness. Before heading to Solange City, the group decided to stop by the Sycamore Pokemon Lab.
Did you see Solange City?
Solange?
I was saying Solange, like Beyonce's sister.
Ain't nobody know who that is.
Everybody knows who Solange is, okay? She gonna dropkick Jay-Z.
She also put out several really fantastic records.
Team Rocket decides to kidnap Professor Sycamore, as well as Serena and Bonnie, to pry the professor's mind for the secrets behind Mega Evolution. Meanwhile, Ash and Clement have to deal with a gluttonous little chesspin with a penchant for macarons. So in this episode, we get that they go back to the Pokemon lab.
And can I just say, I love that we are dealing with Pokemon Origins today, which has the introduction to Mega Evolution, and we're dealing with Mega Evolution here in this batch of episodes.
Right?
It's like so fortuitous or whatever.
It's almost like someone planned it that way.
We really didn't. Or did we? You'll never know, Internet. You'll never know. So this continues along to the episodes of getting to know your region starters, obviously with the inclusion of Chespin. When they go there with Serena's Macarons, this greedy-ass little Chespin.
Chili donuts.
This greedy-ass little Chespin. He comes up and just
Adorable.
Steals their food while they're setting up tea. The professor's like, hey, you guys go ahead and eat or watch after this Chespin or whatever, and I'm gonna go ahead and dance with my Pokemon downstairs. At which point, Team Rocket break into his lab, messing up the lab for the second time that Ash has been there, so, you know, he should keep visiting that place. In the process of kidnapping the professor, Bonnie and Serena notice what's happening and try to, like, rescue him, but get stuck in the back of the van. Unsuccessfully try to intimidate Team Rocket using a version of their intro sequence.
I thought that was a really cute touch.
Yeah. Oh, and Jesse and James being like, that's copyright infringement! That was pretty good. And they would have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for a sleepy Dedenne that just stopped helping them out.
Okay, but at least sleeping Dedenne is super cute.
It's true. Chespin does find, does alert the others to what's going on.
Literally only because he wants those macarons.
I mean, yeah, he follows a trail of them. Sure, they could have sent out Fletchling Pokemon again, but instead of using a Fletchling this time, they used the superior power of macarons.
Macarons plus.
When we go back to what's happening with the... God damn it, macarons plus.
It does have a giant robot.
Okay, so Macron's Macross Plus happens. So we get back to the professor. He's like, no, I'll never give you the secrets of Mega Evolution or my data. And then his mouth's like, okay, here are my claws. Here's this aluminum. I'm going to scratch this a lot. And oh no, sonic waves. And everyone's like screaming. So he's just like, no, you know what? I have an SD card. Just take it. Just take that information.
I love that it is literally just an SD card with a Pokeball drawn on it.
That he just keeps in his pocket, you know.
Yeah, this is my top secret data on Mega Evolution, and I carry it on my person.
At all times. So, Jesse and James pull off what is surprisingly a really good plan. It's to use a Mega Meowth, well, a robotic giant Meowth, which, you know, giant robots. So they call it the Mega Mega Meowth.
Should have been called Macarons Plus.
Should have been called Macarons Plus. they decide to use Meowth as the pilot because synchronicity or whatever. And I think this is actually probably one of their more terrifying plots, because that giant Mega Mega Meowth is like kind of terrifying,
right? It looks like one of the Gutsman rebuild robots in the later Mega Man games, and I'm like, you know, in any other anime, like, this is a plan that would have worked. In other video games, like, this would be like a boss toward the end of the game. So well done, Team Rocket.
And they would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for Analog. RIP Analog ports.
If only they had had the courage to remove the analog port.
So the group tries to save them before Mega Meowth starts fucking them up. They're unable to do so, but Chespin finds that there is a power cord attached to a generator that is powering Mega Mega Meowth. He and Clement disable it, and it looks like they're going to win for a second, except, oh no, they've got backup power. Again, Team Rocket being really well prepared this episode. The Chespin and Pikachu try to, like, throw all of their attacks at it, headbutt, quick attack, electroball, you name it, it's not working. Out of nowhere comes the Mystery Man from episode 1 and episodes 2, I want to say, with his Mega Blaziken that just destroys the thing.
A beast!
Gila monster!
With the armor destroyed, Pikachu and Chespin are able to stop the thingy, the Mega Mega Meowth thingy. And yeah, Clement walks away from this whole event with a new Pokemon because Chespin's like, you know what? You saved me from being crushed to death by a Mega Mega Meowth, so let's hang out.
And cute little Chespin shares those macarons, because she already done had hers is.
Oh, crrk.
Whoa.
Slagkick, your thoughts on this episode?
I love Mega Mega Meowth. Like you said, it's surprisingly one of the better thought out plots that Team Rocket's ever had. You know, just the giant Meowth robot itself is amazing. I love the little Chespin. It reminds me so much of myself because I am gluttonous. And any episode that has a healthy dose of Professor Sycamore quenches my thirst. So,
he's a cartoon.
Yeah, I don't care. Probably my favorite episode of the batch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was a lot of fun, as you probably gathered from all my comments.
Yeah. Episode 11, The Bamboozling Forest.
Bamboo! Get it?
No, I don't get it.
I hadn't until right now, thanks.
While on their journey, the group stops for lunch when they are interrupted by two Pancham. When Team Rocket attacks, the Pokemon get separated from their trainers. As Ash and his friends try to reach Pikachu, Team Rocket tries capturing Pikachu again. Surprise. However, they cross paths with a Pangoro along the way. This episode I kind of kept forgetting about, even though I'd watched it twice during the downtime between episodes. I do think this Pancham are super cute.
Yes.
We did get to see another Clementic gear in work here. I don't memorize the names of them, but this one was like...
Who could?
The Pokemon Translator. Clement tries to use it to discern what the Pokemon are saying, finds out his device doesn't work completely as expected, and that the Pancham are two hungry little guys that just want to eat literally all of their food, which
so
they
cute.
Do. They don't ask permission. They just eat everyone's food.
These jelly donuts are great. Everyone loves jelly donuts.
So, you know, I think that these are really more like you, Slagkick, than poor little Chespin.
Mean.
I mean, yeah. Hi. Where was I going with this?
So Jesse caught a pumpkaboo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What, it's like the highlight of the episode
it
for
basically
me.
Is, yeah. And it's so random. So, like, okay, we'll get to that. So they're like, okay, these little Pokemon ate all our food, and oh, shit, there's a Team Rocket net that captures the three starters and Pikachu, and then flies off. If Team Rocket had not fought amongst themselves for who would get the glory at capturing Pikachu, they would have gotten away with it. That's my phrase this week. They would have gotten away with it. Inkay and Wobbuffet fuck up the Meowth balloon, and down they go. Instead of blasting off, they blast down. The three Pokemon get separated, or four Pokemon get separated. Meowth gets separated, and Team Rocket hangs out with themselves. And Jessie does find a Pumpkaboo while they're just kind of like wandering around. And all she does is throw a Pokeball at him. No fight, no nothing. Just
right?
I'm just gonna
catch Pokemon
this.
Goes it.
Yeah, she's basically playing Pokemon Go, and she threw a curveball.
I mean, I kind of love it though. And I think Pumpkaboo is super cute and spoopy. So
I mean, I love it. I think it's a great Pokemon for Jessie of all people to have. That being said, they did also run into Pangoro, who like owns on them. Meowth also runs into Pangoro separately. It owns on them. Meowth runs into Pikachu, Chespin, Fennekin, and who didn't
Froakie?
Froakie. Froakie.
Oh, just Froakie. Not going to be super important later on or anything.
Hey, you know what? We discovered in this episode that Froakie is about fashion. Froakie knows how to do hair, girl.
Slay.
Yeah, because when they run into Fennekin, Fennekin's all upset. Oh, my tail's all dirty. And Froakie's like, here, let me use some Frobles. We're going to get a nice shine. We're going to get a good shape. And they do. It was surprising. The group of starters and Pikachu and Meowth do run into Pangoro again. This time, Chespin gets kind of scared by it and fires off his pin missiles at the face of his attacker.
Aww.
And destroys the bamboo sprig in its mouth. Oh, I get it. Now I get the title. And Pangoro basically just drops to its knees like, I have no purpose in life. My sprig is gone. The trainers do show up. They're like, OMG, that's a Pangoro. Why is it sad and not doing anything? And yeah, they're like, oh, we'll go get it. We'll find its favorite sprig. Move along with our lives. And then Team Rocket shows up again. And they're like, hey, Meowth, we saw that you're here. Let's like backstab these kids that were helping you again. And they do. They capture the Pangoro. And then the team shows up with the sprig. A Pumpkaboo gets introduced into combat like right away using Leech Seed, which for some reason traps all of the Pokemon on the field. Ash runs forward, throws the sprig into the mouth of the Pangoro, and it just sends them all flying off again. And I think that's that for that episode.
You made that episode sound better than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I really like the anime. Have you guys not caught on to that?
I generally do too, but I feel like every batch has one that just doesn't click for me, and this for me was the grooming furfrou of this batch of episodes.
Yeah.
Again, I liked grooming furfrou.
And that's fine. I'm just saying. It didn't
work
for me.
Well, that's because your dog is basically a furfrou.
Excuse you? No.
This is not... You basically said that earlier.
No, I said, wouldn't it be cool if we could groom her like a... We'll keep this conversation offline.
So, my thoughts about this and why it was kind of the... why it was the weaker point was that it was kind of like a run-of-the-mill Team Rocket episode. After following it, you know, it might have just been that, you know, we watched these in Bachelors of Four. Like, the previous two episodes were, like, really action-packed, kind of doing some different things. But this one was like, oh, it's a Pokemon of the week. It's Pancham and Pangoro and Team Rocket. Oh.
Oh, if only there had been this, like, Pokemon that you had just said you were, like, super living for, like, named Pumpkaboo or something.
Yeah, that's why I said Pumpkaboo was like the best part of the episode.
Yeah, so therefore it was a good episode because you like the Pokemon in it.
It's not a bad episode, it just was not my favorite.
Ladies.
You're a bad episode.
Alright, let's move forward. Why don't you tell us about episode 12?
Episode 12, To Catch a Predator. I mean, To Catch a
Pokemon. I'm Officer Jenny. Why don't you have a seat over here?
Yeah, it's basically that as an episode. While heading towards the next city, you know, Solange City, the group sees a man escaping from Officer Jenny, and along along the way, find a scatterbug that fell out of the man's truck. It turns out that the man is a Pokemon poacher who has been capturing Vivillon of different pattern. Ooh. Ash and his friends decide to help Jenny catch him. That synopsis doesn't really cover everything.
Can I just say, it's super funny to me that this is a bunch of, like, 10-year-olds who are like, that police officer let that felon escape. Let's catch him ourselves.
Yeah, so they run after the Jeep that nearly ran them over with a character that looks like he was ripped off from a Miyazaki film and his fat bunny friend.
That is, yeah, that, I mean, that's accurate, though. Fat bunny friend.
Fat bunny friend
fires... Diggersby
is
just round.
Fat bunny friend, that's clearly his name, shoots a bunch of mud shots down, throws off Jenny, and she can't follow them. The kids find the scatterbug, and they're like, OMG, scatterbug looks scared and hurt. Let's take it to a Pokemon Center. Because, you know, we weren't just chasing this dangerous criminal. It's just, they basically need to be on Ritalin. That is what these children need.
Wow, that's a little harsh.
They literally had ADD in this episode. They're just like, we're going to do this thing. Oh, no, there's something
they're
shiny.
They're 10 years old. Even though this is like the 18th season. They're 10 years old.
He is 30. That kid is 30.
Okay.
He's hanging out with a bunch of 10-year-olds. He looks like a 10-year-old, but he's 30. Anyways, they get over the Pokemon Center. They're talking to Nurse Joy. Everything seems like normal. And then, what? We have a comical miscommunication as Jenny shows up and, like, lassos Ash for some reason. Like, you're the Pokemon poacher. Despite the fact that she had been chasing a large man and his giant bunny, she thinks that a small child and his little yellow Pikachu are basically the same thing.
They could be accomplices.
Once they basically announce, no, we were trying to help you, she's like, oh man, you're right, I kind of screw everything up. And they just kind of keep moving forward from there. The scatterbug evolves into a Spupa.
I really don't like that name, and that's why he's doing this.
Yeah. Spupa. And Ash describes what evolution is. It's when a Pokemon gets all glowy and everyone's like, ooh, awesome! Spupa. So they're like, man, that's cool. Clement tries to explain it in more detail, something about levels, you know, whatever. Levels. They discovered that there's a tracking device on the Spupa. They use that as kind of like a, hey, we can use Clementic gear, because that'll work out great for us, to track down the poacher guy. So, spoiler, that didn't work out for them. They come up with a clever-ish ruse to use a Spupa costume to basically get Chespin in trouble. I don't know why they sent Chespin, why they didn't just, like...
Because he's the new Pokemon on the team and they need a focus episode.
I mean, but the focus episode was on Spupa, like, or Vivillon. It looked like you were going to say
Yeah, every time you say Spupa, it makes me feel nauseous.
Spupa. They end up losing sight of Chespin and eventually break into the guy's warehouse, separate from Officer Jenny. As they're about to break in all the way, OMG, another net. And all of the Pokemon, save for Spupa and I want to say Froakie? Froakie, are caught. Ash fights with this guy's Diggersby. His Pokemon gets owned. And then Spupa evolves into Vivillon and takes the win. That's really all there is to this episode. It's very reminiscent of Goodbye Butterfree at the end, in that for some
reason it's not as sad.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's all these flying butterfly Pokemon.
Like, don't get caught again.
Yeah, don't get caught again. Like, dude, what are you doing? You realize that is what you do for a living. You go around and you catch Pokemon out of their natural habitat and force them into death battles. How about your thoughts on this one, Spike?
You know, I don't have a whole lot to say about this. I thought it was a pleasant enough episode. It was very tropey, but you know, overall, I liked it. It felt derivative of like old Pokemon episodes, sort of, but I enjoyed it.
And Slagic?
You know, I thought it was interesting. I think it's interesting anytime there's like a villain character that isn't Team Rocket. Also, no one mentioned his name was Dolan. I'm like, Dolan, please. I fucking hate you, Dolan.
Being Spoderman sure sucks balls.
And I thought it was cool to see the, you know, different regional pavilions.
Yeah, that I thought was cool, and I like that they had that in the show. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Dolan was just trying to have a living Pokédex, y'all. Don't hate.
No, he was literally selling them off.
No, I know.
To make money.
Rude.
Why doesn't he become a Magikarp salesman then?
All right, anything else to say about these episodes? We are running a little long here, so we should move
forward.
No,
but I think that Dolan should go into dealing Pokemon cards for profit. So, speaking of cards...
Oh, wow, you actually gave me a segue. Holy moly.
Oh, that's what you've been riding around on all episode.
vroom. So the new releases coming up here are going to be the Victini EX box and the Pikachu EX box.
Yes! Cute!
All of my retailer sources indicate that these should be available on the 18th of this month. I have seen some people on Twitter who have had luck finding them in stores already, but I myself have not been as lucky, unfortunately. I did do some hunting, but at least I found my Generations Elite Trainer box, which I guess also counts as a new release, as
jealous.
It went into wide release this month.
Jealous. So I know what we're going to be hunting for next weekend.
All right. Do you guys have any thoughts on these recent releases?
Since I haven't yet got one, not really. I mean, I definitely want to own them because I will own them. I will own them all.
Fair. Slaggy?
I'm just happy to see more of the EX boxes rolling out. I think they're great collections.
Excellent, excellent. Well, then let's start winding this episode down by talking about our Pokemon of the Week. Slagkick, I believe you're taking that one.
This week's Pokemon of the Week is number 19, Rattata, the mouse Pokemon. Rattata is a normal type Pokemon. Bites anything when it attacks. Small and very quick, it is a common sight in many places. And that's a pretty apt because it is everywhere, literally effing everywhere. Originally in Pokemon Red and Blue / Green on the Game Boy, it's pretty much been in every game except for, I think in Ruby Sapphire originally it wasn't, and then in possibly like X and Y, but like pretty much everything else.
You would have to bring it in from another game to get it.
Right, right. But pretty much everything else, most of the side games is appearing in some way. One of the notable appearances is that in Pokemon Rumble, the first one, it was the starter Pokemon toy that you chose when you went into like the toy factory or whatever it was.
I did not know that.
So yeah, that was from the first Rumble game. And it's appeared in the anime. One of the most notable ones was in Pokemon I Choose You, which was the very first episode where Rattata is trying to steal food out of Ash's backpack.
And Ash is trying to steal Rattata out of Ash's bag.
Oh, it's just all going crazy. Then in another early episode, The Path to the Pokemon League, that was the one where there was that kid named AJ who's like, I've beaten 98 trainers and I've never been defeated. He had 3 Rattata. For some reason.
What? That's not a great build composition.
I know. And then another notable one was the baseball episode from the Johto era, which was the Double Trouble header, where Casey, the girl who's the Electabuzz baseball team fan, catches one with her Chikorita.
Chikorita!
And then later, after she and Ash have a fight, because he's like, aren't the Electabuzz always losing? She's like, F you! And she battles it with Ash. So you might be wondering, because like we've had Pokemon of the Week, Mewtwo, Pikachu, and this week we have Rattata. So, you know, you might be thinking, why is this basic bitch Pokemon a Pokemon of the Week? It's true. Rattata has historically been trash and probably even found in the trash because it's a effing rat.
Well, I mean, you're the one who picked this Pokemon.
And you literally
week, right?
Find it everywhere.
Rude.
But, I mean, the reason that I wanted to go with Rattata this week, and there were a couple of choices that I could have made, is that I really think that this is a choice, and I made one. And that's a choice. You know, Rattata has kind of been giving a new lease on life by having an Alola form that is the dark normal type. You know, we had talked about how having a dark type will allow Bite to be stabbed. So definitely giving Rattata, and as we revealed this episode, Raticate, a lot more use. And something that's kind of cute but a little sad is that apparently the Alola Raticate were like really thriving, but then the locals started targeting they wanted to control the Rattata population because it was getting like too much, and so they started bringing in Yungoose.
But that's exactly why they evolved into a dark type, because they started sleeping during the day and would come out at night.
So they're basically little vampire rats? Is this like a Bunnicula thing? Because that's awesome.
No, because Bunnicula only dines on vegetables?
Tomatoes? Maybe? That might be Count Duckula.
Maybe I'm thinking Marceline.
The vampire
Moving
queen.
On.
Alright, so to wrap things up, we hope that you don't get wrapped up in your link cables, because those things are a pain to untangle, but we do have link cables for you. I'm going to start out with some tweets, and then Salker's going to take over with the Facebook. So our first tweet, actually both our tweets this week, come from Your Enzyme, who I believe we have named our superfan. Yeah,
superfan. He's super effective.
So the first one's calling Trainer Spike a shady MF.
You're welcome.
And I guess that's, although I think that that maybe Salker gets the title of Shady MF this episode, and also always. And then also linking us to something that is, says, this could be super good with a little, like, emoji. What do they call those? A noisemaker?
I'm sorry,
Actually, as like making a noisemaker imitation noise with your mouth goes, I thought that was a pretty good one.
Thank you, Trainer Spike. So this is a article over on Variety talking about the Pokemon movie, the live action one, has writers from Guardians of the Galaxy and Gravity Falls, and it's going to be a Detective Pikachu movie. As I think we already mentioned that detail.
Give me Danny DeVito or give me death.
I don't know if I can abide that.
You don't want Detective Pikachu to be voiced by Danny DeVito?
Oh, never mind. I misunderstood the question.
So thank you,
Do
your
you
enzyme.
Even go here?
Thank you, your enzyme.
Oh, God, Danny DeVito, I love your work.
Thank you. Thank you, your enzyme, for your tweets. What's the Facebook looking like?
Over on Facebook, we did get a response to our Pokemon of the week, Rattata. Chris Pell says, I like his evil little new mustache. Looks like he's going to hatch a scheme any moment. And I said, OMG, right? Now I understand how to love this version of Rattata.
And I completely agree, because he does look like he has a cute little mustache.
He really does.
All right, well, with all that having been said, let's start those solicitations. Slaggy?
We love your feedback. We love your iTunes and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. It's almost called an ape book. So I'm like, is it a primate?
And we effing love Twitter,
Tumblr, Google Plus, email, and of course our home base at stabcast.org.
Wait, Google Plus is still a thing?
It is, in fact.
They moved Hangouts to a different website, so no, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, we don't have a Google Plus. We should have a Tumblr though. Sulker, you're really good with Tumblrs. You should make us a Tumblr.
I mean, if by good at Tumblr you mean I just hit reblog on anything that comes
yep,
across
that's
my
being
screen.
Good at Tumblr.
All right, well, I'd like to start our shout outs now. Does anyone have a problem with that?
No, please do.
Yes. Oh God. All right, well, of course I want to shout out to the VOG Network. That is the Voice of Geeks Network over at vognetwork.com. You can find such fantastic shows as PokeStop. Join podcasting veterans Rob Roberts and Shane Alenko for a regular chat on Pokemon topics like the handheld games, PokeGo, and spin-offs of the franchise. The show that I do with Slackick here about left of center gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be, that is GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
I'd also like to recommend the Ranger Pride cast, where myself and Shane Alenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current series of the Super Sentai show upon which they are based in Japan. Slaggy, what about your shoutouts?
Ooh, girl, the library is open over on Reading is Fundamental, the podcast where myself, Spike, Delvin from VG Realness, and Rob Roberts serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race for the current season. We're currently covering All Stars 2, and ooh, mama, it's a doozy. It's beast. It's a Gila monster.
Lip sync for your legacy.
We've referenced it like a bazillion times on this episode. And I'd also like to mention the pretty much ultimate Voice of Geeks Network show, vognetwork.com. That's OLR, Orange Lounge Radio, the longest-running video game podcast. Airs live every Sunday over on the Voice of Geeks Network. That's Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice. We pretty much owe our podcasting existence to Orange Lounge Radio.
Excellent. And Sulker, I believe you have a special one for us at the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me do the normal ones first. PKMN Cast, It's Super Effective, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explores the ins and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond. All this and a weekly podcast. Dungeons & Dragonites, taking two of the best aspects of geek life, GM Whitewing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon world of the past with classic D&D classes and villains. They start their second season this Tuesday. And finally, for our special shout-out, Extra Life, a fundraising foundation that once a year runs a 24-hour marathon of gaming to provide assistance to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. This will be my fourth year participating in this fundraising campaign, so please feel free to visit visit us on stabcast.org and follow the link to my donation page should you feel the need to help out some sick children.
That's wonderful. I only wish that Sun and Moon were out. Like, we could marathon that. Do you think you'll be marathoning any Pokemon at all?
I may very well try to do a 24-hour play of one of the Pokemon games. We're going to see what's happening on that account. We may also have some live feeds for the Pokemon games that we'll be playing that day, so do follow us for more news on that.
Yeah, I was thinking it might be fun to live stream something a little bit stranger, like Gale of Darkness XD or something.
Ooh.
Right? Anyway, we'll talk more as time goes on. Slaggy, you want to talk about our theme music?
We have theme music. It's great. We got themes. We got music. We got the best theme music. So our theme music is Professor Sycamore's theme, done by Nathan Sharp, probably better known to you on the internet as Nate Wants to Battle. He does all sorts of super cool anime and video game covers, and they're awesome. You should go check them out.
Probably the best covers I've ever heard, frankly.
Yeah, like he does like fan dubs of anime songs, but like they're actually like legit.
Yeah,
like we're talking like better than 90s dubs. Like, remember when Tenchi, like the Tenchi anime, would have like English language versions?
Life is so full of hurry and hustle.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I think we need to hurry and hustle off.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being with us here tonight. I hope you've had half as much fun as we've obviously had, talking to all y'all out there. It's been a really great one, but it's time to say goodbye. Until next time, keep catching, keep battling, and
Hagure Pokemon, Hitokage.
Rattata is not a basic bitch anymore, so it gives hope to basic bitches like me.
Mostly, I breathe fire, but want to exchange numbers?
I am speaking into my mic. Xander, please speak into your mic.
Hello, Mike. I hope you're having a pleasant day.
So I'd probably recommend you get
a
little closer.
Hello, Mike. I like you. I'm Alma. If I do my Alma voice, that's totally fine. I can always project.
Fair enough. Slaggy?
Can we talk about the fact that Pokemon Origins has like a legit anime dubcast?
Can we talk about the fact that you have the loudest speaking voice of anyone I've ever seen?